First Light Church. Today's sermon is Dreams.
Well, this morning I want to talk about dreams. How many of you have dreams? How many of you don't have dreams? How many of you, when you dreamt, your dreams come true? How many of you wish you dream and your dream comes true? How many of you dream and don't want your dream come true? It's the same person, you know. For the sake of just to agree with Pastor, you know, just get a sermon along quickly, the kind of thing. Let me talk about dreams. And if you look at the Gospel of Matthew, it is the only gospel that talks all about dreams. You mentioned dreams many times. But let me give you some ideas about dreams. Do you know? Facts about dreams. Let me give you some facts. These are done by researchers, not done by me. All right, I just get the idea. Everyone dreams. Right? Everyone dreams. But the problem is most of us forget about 95 to 99% of our dreams. That's why some of us say that I never dream at all. Actually, you did. But you forget about it. And most of the time you forget about it is because when we are sleeping, our mind is sorting out a lot of information. It is deciding what information to keep and what information to be chucked away. So part of our mental makeup, when we dream, is part of our brain sorting out information that happens to us throughout the whole day. And in fact, our brain is more active while we are sleeping than we are awake. Hallelujah. So you want to have an active mind, you sleep. Dreaming is good for your mental and emotional health. Okay, researchers say that if people who dream is good because it sorts out a lot of issues for us mentally and emotionally. So dreaming is a good thing. And dreaming can help you to learn. Researchers say that if you are having a major paper for tomorrow, there's a major exam, don't try to mark through the whole night. You're going to fail. What you need to do is study anything you can, then sleep 1 hour earlier. Because when you sleep, remember, information gets sorted out. Then you have a better sense of remembering what you learned the night before so that you will do well in the exam. Hallelujah. So all those of you are A student, that means you sleep a lot. Very good. And of course, dreaming can affect your mood. If you have a bad dream, next day your mood somehow get affected, isn't it? If you have a good dream, most likely the whole day you look out for something positive. Dream can inspire you. Just in case you do not know, the one who created Google, he dreamt about it. The one who created the sewing machine, he dreamt about the sewing machine. The one who if we all don't know the DNA, the double helix, actually comes by a dream to James Watson because he couldn't understand how to depict the DNA model until he had a dream. So a lot of times, dream can inspire you. In fact, the famous book by Mary Shelley about Frankenstein came by a dream. But dream can also forewarn you, and that, again, we will talk about it in Scripture. There's a lot of warning about that comes to us from God through our dreams. If you have recurring dreams, some dreams have been dreaming that comes back again and again and again. How many of you have that kind of dream? That means you have unresolved issues. Right? And the truth is, most dreams are negative than positive. Why, Pastor? Why? Are we not spirit-filled? Yes, we are. But remember, as I say, you are sorting out information. Everything happens to you throughout the day. You're sorting out, what should I keep? What should I throw? So a lot of thing about life is a lot of negative things happen to us, isn't it? So our brain is sorting it through. And I believe that if you look at the scripture, it's true. All the great men, like the Pharaoh, like King Nebuchadnezzar, they all have awful dreams. But they need a Joseph or a Daniel to interpret their dreams for them. And through a proper interpretation of dream, right, Joseph and Daniel turns what is negative into positive. Is it interesting? They interpret dreams, but they also learn how to implement dreams. So when the Pharaoh dreamt about 7 fat cows and 7 skinny cows and how the 7 skinny cows ate up the 7 fat cows, it talked about 7 years of plenty, but 7 years of famine. And of course, if people do not understand, they say, oh, that's a bad dream. But if you are a dream interpreter, how many of you want to be dream interpreters? You can turn people's negative dreams into something positive. So most of our dreams are negative. So don't feel bad if you have a bad dream or say, oh, that was a bad dream. Something bad is going to happen to me. No, no. Research tells us most dreams are more negative than positive. Okay? Good facts, isn't it? Are we learning? Now, next. It's why God used dreams. Next one. Job tells us, right, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men while slumbering on their beds. Job 33:15 tells us. He gives us an idea of dream. And the Greek and the Hebrew word for dream is called chalom. And chalom is interesting. It doesn't just talk about dream, but the word chalom also means health. So when we dream, it's talking about alignment to bring back health into our life situation. Amen? And here he says, Job tells us dream is a vision of the night. We can have vision. And vision is when we see things when we are awake, isn't it? Sometimes when we pray for someone or sometimes when we do our own personal devotion, we have vision of something. And that is where we are still awake. But when we dream, it is what I call a vision of the night. And most dream, if we understand it in the light of God's word, are what I call underdeveloped prophecy. Underdeveloped prophecy. That means something is going to happen, but you just see glimpses and images that you can't quite understand, isn't it? Until you go back to the Word of God, or until you meet someone who can interpret dreams. That's why in church, we better have our Josephs and our Daniels who can interpret dreams for us, so that it helps us. So when we dream, please do not live your life by your dream. I know sometimes in Hollywood, they say, pursue your dream. Chase after your dream. Now, there's a dream at the end of the rainbow. No. Most dreams are subjective. But as believer, while God gives us dream, He doesn't make us just live by dreams alone. You get what I'm saying? Or by vision alone. Just like I often say, just don't live your life by just one prophecy from someone. You still have to go back to the Word of God. Prophecy, dreams, visions, words of wisdom, all these are given to encourage us. In fact, most of the time, we know what is it in our spirit man. But when people give us a word, give us a prophetic word, or people, or we have a dream, it is affirming where we are right now. Also, in one sense, preparing for us what is to come. But end of the day, we still need to ground our life in the Word of God, right? In the Gospel, especially, and be guided by the principles of Scripture. Amen? So let me set this straight. So while you have beautiful dreams, dramatic dreams, please do not live your life by your dreams alone. You can go off track because, as I say, most dreams are subjective. And those of us who want to mature in our spiritual life, it is good to have dreams, but it's good to align everything of our life by the very word that God gives us in Scripture. Amen? Next. Here in the Gospel of Matthew, I told you guys that it's a gospel that talks a lot about dreams. It occurs about 6 times. And we talk about here Joseph, remember? He discovered that Mary, his betrothed, was pregnant and he wasn't quite sure what to do with it and was thinking of divorcing her. You must understand, in those days, betrothal is almost like a marriage, but not yet a marriage. It's one class above or one level above engagement. If you are engaged with someone in our modern culture, you can say that, let's break off with that. We think that we're not going to have a good marriage. But once you are betrothed to someone in that culture, there's no such thing called break off or breaking off. That means you have to actually divorce. But because Mary, remember, was pregnant, and then and not sure who the father is kind of thing, most likely under the law of Moses, she will be stoned to death. But Joseph, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was thinking of just putting her away quietly somewhere. But then, while he thought about these things, what happened? Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And then she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So that dream, an angel of the Lord, a messenger came and comforted Joseph. Amen? And Joseph then, okay, I decided to go ahead with my marriage. Next one. Here you see next text is in Matthew chapter 2. And these are the wise men who came, remember, to worship Jesus. So they lay their gifts before Jesus. But somehow they didn't know Herod was out to get Jesus. And so what happened in verse 12? It says, then being divinely warned in the dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed from their own country another way. I believe Scripture gives us enough example. Most dreams from the Lord comes as a warning. I know of a pastor one time, he was sharing with me that he has a dream that one of his leaders is going to attack him on Sunday. They're going to bring out a lot of false charges against him. And this person that I know was always very quick to make his position very strongly. And say that if that person comes up to get me, I'm going to defend myself to the teeth. But the Lord told him, you just shut up, say nothing. And on that very Sunday, as he go to church, one leader came and accused him of many, many things. And all his flesh was coming out, you get what I mean? He wanted to defend himself, he wanted to say something, but he remembered the Lord told him, shut up. And he just kept quiet and let this guy barrage him with all kinds, berate him with all kinds of remarks in front of all the other leaders. He just kept quiet. And next thing, one of the leader, who often the one who doesn't speak a lot, suddenly stood up and said, what, everything you say about your past, about my pastor, is a lie. And no one is going to believe you. And suddenly all the leadership just told this leader to, you shut up and sit down. And this pastor's so-called integrity was preserved because no one believed those things that were said. But he was divinely warned, say nothing. And I believe that God will tell us, if we continue to trust Him, He will divinely warn us of things if we continue to learn to hear where He's leading. Amen? Next. Here then you see Matthew 2:13. Here, Joseph had a dream because Herod was coming. And the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. So what happened? Joseph, by this time, he's a dream expert. First time comforted, even the angel tell him what to name your child. Okay, name the child Jesus, God who saves. If you name a child the God who saves, the God who going to save you, trust me, God's salvation is on your house. He's always going to save you all the time. And here was a dream. Go to Egypt. And he ran to Egypt. The next thing, what happened? A few years later, Herod died. And then an angel appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Wow, this is better than internet in those days. Right, here, there's a message from heaven. Arise, take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. First, arise, go to Egypt. Now arise, go to Israel. Right, for those who saw the young child's life are dead. See, again, there was first a warning and now there is a direction. And so he went. Then what happened? But then along the way, he's not sure which part of Israel he should settle in. And then Joseph heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod. What happened was there was some political turmoil. Archelaus was not deemed as the true successor of Herod. And so there was tension between Israel at that time with the Roman so-called overlord. And it was unsafe. And so he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. You see, so when God gives us direction, we take those directions. And sometimes those directions may not be specifically clear. But we need to take each step by faith, knowing that His grace will see us through in every season of our life. Amen? Then what happened? You look at, even in Matthew 27, Pontius Pilate, right, he was going to sentence Jesus to death. And then his wife, Mrs. Pontius Pilate, said to him, "Say, dear, have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." You realize in the Gospel of Matthew, all these mentions of dreams always center about who Jesus Christ is. There's always that relationship that this is the one whom God has sent to save you. This is the one whom God wants you to preserve. And this is the one whom God was going to lead you to a place of rest. So Joseph, even while he was in Egypt, he was resting. Even when he was brought to Galilee, he was resting. And even right now, when Pontius Pilate was deciding over so-called the fate of Jesus, a dream came to his wife and say, don't do anything because there is a dream that tells us this is a just man. I believe dreaming is good because for us believers, dreaming reveals the character of God to us. Most of the time, as I say, we are awake. We don't spend time listening. In fact, it is said that we dream more than actually we think. Most of the days, the truth is most of us don't think throughout the whole day. We worry throughout the whole day. Come on, people. You know what I'm saying. Don't be offended. I've not mentioned any name yet. But we actually worry and are concerned throughout the whole day. But at night when we sleep, this is when God begins to speak to us. Speak to our inner man, to our spiritual man. Begin to tell us, because you are my poetry. I'm singing to you my song again. Every day we sing song of nay, 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 nay. By night God sings song of us, rejoicing about us, calling out from us what he has put into our being right before the foundation of the world. Amen. Sometimes people say, I need to hear some music before I sleep. But some of the music you hear doesn't make you sleep, actually make you frightened even more. Right? But some people tell me that they always have problems sleeping. I always tell them, the best way to fall asleep, this is something I can tell you, guaranteed, just pray in tongues. Pray in the spirit. Every time I can't sleep, I just shake out a bahara, I fall asleep within 2 minutes. Why? Because when you pray in the spirit, the Bible tells us we edify ourselves, isn't it? The word edify means you renovate, you build up something. What needs to be renovated means something must be broken or something is not in the right place. And most of the time we can't sleep because there's a nagging thought somewhere that just causes us sleeplessness. But if we pray in the spirit, something gets renovated. And sometimes I don't know what gets renovated, but I believe something gets renovated within me, isn't it? Isn't it good? And then I know that the Lord grants me that peace. Because the scripture says he gives peace to those he loves. Amen? Amen? Next. In Acts chapter 2, okay, don't think that dreaming had to do with Old Covenant stuff or Old Testament stuff. But in the New Covenant, when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, you know, we all know the story, how the 120 all begin to be filled by the power of God. They begin to pray in tongues and sing, and people all in Jerusalem could hear them, right, glorifying God. And they begin to ask, what is this? And then Peter stood up and said, okay, people, don't panic. Right? Keep calm. This is the Holy Spirit. Right? This is the Holy Spirit. Let me quote to you from the prophet Joel. He says, it shall come to pass. Everyone say, it shall come to pass. In the last days. What is the last days? For us as believers, last day is where we are right now. Last day begins the moment Jesus ascended to heaven. And it will end when Jesus comes once again. That means for the past 2,000 years, we are in the last days. That means we are in this prophetic timeline that we are in the last day of Jesus ascending and Jesus coming. And here Joel says, now it shall come to pass in the last days. Why? Because the last days tells us is the age of the gospel. It's the age of the new covenant. In these last days, God says he will pour out his spirit on all flesh. On all flesh. It didn't say he will pour his spirit just for believers, but he will pour forth his spirit on all flesh. Why? So he goes further and say, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Many people misinterpret this text. They think that all these things have an age limit. If you're under 15, you only have prophecy. You're 21 years old and above, you shall see vision. Once you reach your jubilee, dreams. Okay, that is a wrong exegesis. Rather, here he is trying to tell us that when God pours his spirit, there is no limit to age or gender. So to emphasize sons and daughters, young men and old men, it is not putting a category only certain age group will have a vision or a prophecy or have a dream. You get what I'm saying? So let's get it all right. The text is this, pour out my spirit on all flesh. But see, each line concludes there's a prophecy. There is a vision. There is a dream. Why? Because when God talks about pouring forth His Spirit on us, it is a spirit of redemption and restoration. How are we restored? Except through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? God is restoring us through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so when He pours forth His Spirit, He's bringing restoration. And this is what Peter was quoting Joel about. If you meditate on Acts chapter 2, it talks about an age of restoration. And so people will begin to understand prophecy, visions, and dreams has to do with a glimpses or images of the gospel. And in these last days, I'm telling you, I have come across many reports. I met some of these people myself. Hindus, Buddhists, Muslims, atheists, having dreams. And often they dreams about God or Jesus appearing to them. I believe by now most of you will come across a report about Muslim imam, Jesus appearing to them. Jewish rabbi, Jesus appearing to them. Hindu priests, Buddhist monks, Jesus appearing to them, telling all these people, I am the true way. And I met some of these people myself, and I met this guy whose family was a generation upon generation of Brahmin priest, Indian. So the son succeeds the father being Brahmin priest. But one day, the eldest son had a dream of Jesus calling him. And he told his whole family, he said that Jesus appeared in my room and tell me I must follow him. And it was interesting. The whole family say, you have a dream of Jesus? Then the only logical thing for you to do is to become a Christian. It's interesting. Why do you think all these dreams appears in the Gospel of Matthew? Because Matthew was writing to Jewish readers. And Jewish people take dream very, very seriously. Right? Most of us in the West, we will see dreams have to do with psychology or something to do with your mental health or just have to do with your subconsciousness. That is one way to understand dreams. But if you go back to Scripture, the very fact Job tells us, a dream is a vision in the night. And so how much more those of us who are filled with the Spirit, it tells us in this last day, in the day of the new covenant, in the age of grace, God will still give prophecy, visions, and dreams. In fact, you go to Acts of the Apostles, you know, there's dreams by the apostles, and they begin to engage in things. It's interesting. You know, as I reflect, some of my most important decisions of my life came out of a dream. How I landed in Perth came by a dream when I was living in New Zealand. Right? No, I haven't read a Bible text that I go to New Zealand. But it was a dream, and through a series of significant events, I ended up here. You know, we have Grace and Kui. And for many years, you know, since I know them, I always knew their heart for mission, right? And they want to serve the Lord of Australia somewhere in the mission field. And over the years, I've been sharing and talking and say, oh, we need to pray where God is leading. And I think one of the most frustrating situations for them at the time was, Lord, we want to serve you, but where are you going to put us in? Or which nation or which part of the world you want us to be at? And so many times we are still trying to hear where God was leading. But 2 years before they went to Nepal, right, I always keep a dream journal. I dreamt I was in Nepal. And here was Grace and Kui with me. And what interesting was, I was in this big cave. It's not a bad cave. It was just a big cave. And by this cave, there were a lot of humans, all like so-called, their body is like buried halfway. They're still alive. They're still alive. Right? What you see is that from their chest down, they're just buried. They can't come out of that so-called sand pit in the cave. So I said, if these people are not rescued, they will slowly sink into the sand. It's like a slow form of quicksand, and they will just die. So here I was trying to pull everybody up by myself. And I can't. And next thing, I saw Grace and Kui came. And they were much more stronger than I could actually pull them. But it was much more stronger. And I could well saw Grace and Quick, just one heave, they were just lifting up all these people from the sandpit faster than I could do with one person. I said, wow, this is interesting. Right. And they were going at a faster speed. And I said but there's some more people still buried in those sandpit. And we need more. And next thing I saw, two other persons from our church came and joined Grace and Quick. I can't tell you who they are. Right. But I wrote all this down in my journal and I draw pictures. And it was 2 years prior to what Grace and Quick was telling me. I know that God, you are sending them to Nepal. I've been praying for them since then. That you're going to Nepal. They're going to Nepal. But I never hint anything. And then one day, Grace and Quick say, Pastor, can we meet up with you? I say, oh, okay. The Lord is putting our heart. I say, where are you going? Oh, I think the Lord is calling us to Nepal. Ah, Nepal. Wait. Let me show you my dream journal. This is your assignment. You can do much more effective ministry than your pastor can. Hallelujah. See, one thing about me is I always wish people can do much better than I can do it. I think any great leader rejoices where the people that they lead make mighty leaps. And that's always my prayer, that the ceiling, my ceiling is a floor you walk on. That you guys will go beyond what I can accomplish in my own lifetime. Amen? I say amen. Pastor, I'm going to be the one. I'm going to be the one leaping forward. Because I was so thankful. And now I'm praying for that other two person. I said, oh, these two is going to be one day either join Grace and Queen, but or they are going to also go into the mission field, pulling out all these people who are sinking in the pit. Amen. No, that's how God gives dreams. Right? And God is interesting. Let me tell you, people. Let me comfort you. You don't need to have such dramatic dreams that I have. Right? God speak in the language you understand. You get what I'm saying? God speak in a way you understand. So some of us may dream very vivid dreams. Some of us just see words. Some of us just see pictures. But I'd like to encourage you, write it down. Write it down. And over the years, I have many dreams, right? As I say. And some dreams I know it's just depends on what I ate last night. You get what I mean? What I ate last night. Now, last night I dreamt I was over flooded by cheese. There was too much cheese in my diet. I was being suffocating by rice, too much rice. You know what I mean? So sometimes our dreams is depend on what we ate. Huh? But some dreams, I can tell you people, and I know this is from God, is God like to give me assignments when I dream. He give me words that I never knew in my life. And most of these words are foreign words. And I know I never come across these words because these are from like different countries. So there are times God give me an African word or an Indian word or a Japanese word. I know they are Indian, Japanese. God, I can see their words. I quickly write it down. And next day I Google. And I discover all those words actually was good for me in that season. Because if God just tell me exactly as it is, it's sort of like 1 year in, 1 year out kind of thing. But because God gave me those unique words, and He know that I am the kind who will be bothered to find out what those words really meant, then it really helped me in my season. Right? So some of these words are fantastic. As I said, my goodness, this word actually meant something. And I begin to journal all this thing down because it helps me to know the season I should be in. As I said before, to all of you, start dreaming. Don't be fearful of dreaming. Right? But I say, we do not dream apart from the Word of God. We dream together with God as what He reveals to us in His Word. Remember I say it is, right, the glory of God to conceal a matter. It's the glory of kings to search out a matter. And many times God speaks to us in our spirit man. That's why when we hear prophecy, as I said before, most of the time most prophecy is it's nothing new. We all know. It's affirming what we have it in the spirit. But somehow the prophet is able to articulate better than we can, isn't it? And sometimes we have dreams. And those dreams are good because there are things, especially if we have recurring dreams, that means there are things we need to resolve in our lives. Remember, prophecy, vision, and dreams is restoration. Even if those dreams are negative, I'm telling you,
God is telling you in His grace is restoration. So even you have a bad dream, do not think it is a bad dream that, oh, something bad is going to happen to me. And because this is most of the time, this is how we operate in life. Something bad is always going to happen to me. Isn't it? Very few of us wake up in the morning and say, something good is going to happen to me. But you talk in a loud voice, you're always going to scold you. You're told up. Oh, something bad just happened. No. But you wake up, you must have that exceptional sense of expectation that something good is going to happen. Something good is going to happen. Something good is going to happen. Right? I know this great priest, you know, Anglican priest, during the days of Mary, Queen of Scots, he always believed something good is going to happen. Something good is going to happen. And so Mary, Queen of Scots, was out to kill all Protestant priests. He was betrayed and he was arrested. And so all he could say to his to those who captured him, say, something good is going to happen. Right? Then they say, yeah, something good is going to happen. The queen is going to behead you. He said, oh, but something good is going to happen. Something good is going to happen. And they make him ride on the horse. But he didn't know how to ride a horse. He fell and he broke his leg. But he said, oh, something good is going to happen. Something good is going to happen. He said, you broke your leg? How can it be good? But because his leg was broken, they had to fix him for up, you know. And so his going back to London was delayed by one day. But next day on his way to London, the news came, Queen Mary was captured. And now there's a change of dynasty, and now it's Queen Elizabeth taking over. And he looked at his captive and said, something good has happened. Something good has happened. I think in our life, because we are so geared towards things are going bad things are going to happen to me, or bad things happen to me, many of us do not have a very positive sense of life, even though we are under grace. Do you agree with me? It is not that we don't understand grace. I don't think we are letting grace embracing us. We're not embraced by grace. It's not us embracing grace. You and I cannot embrace grace. Grace is too large, isn't it? Or too huge. Because grace is Jesus personified. And sometimes the problem with many of us, we try to wrap our head around Jesus instead of letting Jesus wrap himself around us. So every dream that you and I can have, put it this way, or those dreams that we know is from God, is still God singing his song to us. Amen? Amen? Next text. Jeremiah 23:28 says, the prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. Joseph and Daniel are prophets, isn't it? Right? I do not know much about Daniel, but I'll tell you, Joseph himself had many dreams himself. To be a dream interpreter, you must first dream dreams. Then you interpret dreams. And then the third part is you implement dreams. To able to interpret dreams is part of a prophetic gifting from God. And I believe, if you look at the example of Joseph and Daniel, there are many people out there who are like Pharaoh, are like King Nebuchadnezzar. These are the power that be. These are people who make policies. These are the big shots of life. You get what I'm saying? And sometimes, most of the time, big shots of life do not want to hear you telling them how to do their business because they reach there, the acme of their career is because they are good in what they are doing or they have a team of people that are doing. But I can tell you, every big shot or small fry has dreams. I can also tell you, many people have unfulfilled dreams. But if you move prophetically and able to be a dream interpreter, people will hear you. You don't believe me? Tomorrow you go to work, try this. Ask any of your colleagues, how many of you had dream last night? I will tell you, most of them will put out their hands. How many of you want your dream to be interpreted? I will tell you, most of them say, yes, I will. You see, why God gives dreams to his children? You know why? Because he knows we are all very curious about our future. Yes, come on people. Aren't you not curious about our future? That's why many Christians like to go to a prophetic meeting because they want to hear the prophet tell them about their future. Next Tuesday, eat corned beef, right? And many times people will say to you, that prophecy, I heard that 20 times already, nothing new. Of course, nothing new because with God, it's always plan A with your life. But the very fact, many of us want to know our future, that's why we are curious to hear prophetic words uttered over us. Yes or no? Come on, people. I don't think I'm the only one guilty of this kind of stuff. Right? But sometimes, put it this way,
It's not just believers who are curious about their future, but everyone in life, they're curious about their future. But sometimes the methodology they apply could be a bit wrong. They will read horoscope, become horrified. They will have palm reading, phase reading, latest more reading. Yeah. Right? They have tarot cards. They see fortune teller. They gaze through crystal ball. Come on, people. People want to know their future. And God knows if believers go through these things like palm reading or face reading or more reading, it will throw the believers off all the time. Isn't it? Because all these people that you go through always instill fear. Because the very, it's a psychology. They know you are there because of fear or worries. They say, oh, you're worried. That's why it's obvious, right? You're worried. You're concerned. And most of the time, they will say, you are concerned for your family members. Oh, yeah, yeah. Wow, this one very good. Very powerful. Knows all my problem. It's mere human psychology, people. My problem is, I know of believers actually who go to see fortune teller to tell their fortune. Years ago, when I was in Singapore, one of my leaders went to see a fortune teller. Why? He wanted to know whether he will get elected back into leadership. If you go, you go. But the problem, he can come and, Pastor, I had this dream that I went to see a fortune teller to check whether I get elected back to leadership. And he said, it will happen. No, it will not happen. Because when God gives us dream, can I tell you, people, it's way better than palm reading, right? Fortune telling, tarot cards, everything. Because he speaks to our spirit man. In these last days, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. And it's always good news when God speaks to us, isn't it? So if you go to a workplace tomorrow, let me tell you, ask people, how many of you have dreams? And how many of you want your dream to be interpreted? I'll tell you, you have a good business going. But don't make it a business. Say, you want your dream to be interpreted? This is the answer. Come to First Light Church. Don't laugh. Next. Next year, as I said, is the year of redemption. Now we're in this season of redemption, after year of Jubilee. And next year, we're beginning our midweek Bible study. Now we call it Hear the Word. And the launch it off is in February the 3rd and 17th. It's on Wednesday night at 7:30. And the first series we're going to do is Dreams and Interpretation. See, I'm bidding you all guys up to this point, you see. So those of you who had dreams, you want your dream to be interpreted, this is for you. All right, but we are so good. Now, don't just bring your Bible or your iPhone. Now, we're also going to bring in the Periscope. And Periscope is where we are going to broadcast live this teaching. So if you can't make it to the church office, you can use this device called Periscope. You just download the app. I think Daryl will tell you guys in January how to get about doing it. And all our accounts name, all the detail will be given to you later. But Periscope, you can do it either through Android or iOS. But it's something that we believe is in so much that, you know, sometimes some of you want to make it, but you can't make it because of traveling time or whatever it is. But at least if we're going to broadcast it live, not just in Perth, but anywhere in the world, people can come into this Bible study. Amen? Now, how many of you are interested to know dreams, know more about dreams? How many of you want to know more about interpretation of dreams? Okay, this is my homework for you guys, okay? We got 2 months before this actual thing is going to take place. What's going to happen in the next 2 months? Next slide. First, I need all of you to write your dreams in a journal from today onward. All right? For the next 2 months, write your dreams. No matter how, don't try to interpret or it's stupid or censored. Just write it down first. Right? Just write it down. Okay? Date it. So if you dream today, you just date it. On the 13th of December, this was my dream. Or the 31st of December, that's my dream. Just write it down. Number 2, check your emotion. Means when you woke up from a dream that you remembered, how did you feel? Happy, sad, confused, whatever. Just write down your emotion. Okay? Thirdly, ascertain whether the dreams talks about your past, your presence or the future. So let's say you have a dream. Just like I dreamt I was in Nepal. I know I never been to Nepal before. You get what I'm saying? So I can only ascertain it sometime in the future. But perhaps I have a dream of my childhood.
Right, last night I dreamt of two friends of mine, my childhood friends. And it's something had to do with my past, perhaps. See, can you, you know, this is how you ascertain. Okay, but don't worry if you can't tell, is it past, present, or future? But more or less, I think we can tell by what we are dreaming. Especially if we are in a new place or a place we are unfamiliar or with people we're not familiar with, often it talks about a future event. But if you have recurring dreams, every time you have a recurring dreams, take note of the detail even more. Every time you dream that same dream, there is always details. Take note. What shirt are you wearing? Or you're not wearing any shirt. Whatever it is, or what color, where were you? Were you in a restaurant? Were you in a forest? Were you in a swimming pool? Whatever it is, write in all the details. As much details as you can. And lastly, you also can ask whether this dream is for yourself or for someone. But I need you guys to resist this temptation. Next 2 months, let's say I dream of Jeremy Ng. Don't get in touch with him. Hey, I dreamt of you last night. It's very frightening, you know. Especially when a pastor tells people, I dreamt of you last night. They say, oh, I'm in trouble, you know, thing. What do you know, pastor? You know. Don't do that, please, don't. Unless these are your immediate loved ones and they are, you can be vulnerable with. But don't go to someone you hardly know in church. I dreamt of you last night. And you're going to marry me. Oh. If anyone do that, we are going to give you the left foot of fellowship. Kick you rare is pain, the most painful, but no violence in church. I won't do that. The usher will do that. All right. But what I'm saying is this. Don't do that. That is being manipulative. You get what I'm saying? Just write it down. Okay? But I'll prefer, if those of you who wants your dream to be interpreted, then send me those dreams of yours, let's say 1 week before the actual event. But when we talk about interpretation of dreams, we will not broadcast it live because it's very personal. What will be broadcast live will be the teaching part only. But what comes to that personal part or ministry part, we will not broadcast it at all. So let's be clear about it. So we can be vulnerable without, don't know what kind of stranger out there watching us, kind of thing. You get what I'm saying? So, you know, Jess and Anders, you can watch us in Shenzhen. You can, same time zone. Yeah? So you can watch us there, and I think it'll be good, isn't it? Are you excited? Because, as I say, basically, this is, if you don't understand my message, is this, just basically one line. Dreams from God is always restoration. But what we need to do is come together is how we can interpret and implement His restoration in our life through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay, let's close our service for today. Very good.